shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go anywhere, everywhere, taking you places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And we're still here, and Keith Olbermann ain't. Well, we'll get into that later on in the program. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. That was probably a shot that I didn't need to take, but we'll talk later because it's an interesting story. And, of course, we're online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. Go over there, get yourself a backstage pass. You can look at our video cast of our show. You can watch our radio show as we perform it every night at philhendryshow.com. And you've got thousands of hours of archived material to listen to and plenty of other things, including our Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. We're going to start off this evening discussing, to some extent, the Mega Millions jackpot, which was, I believe, at least, you know, ostensibly it was awarded. I don't know if anybody's going to claim it, but a number was selected, and we'll see if someone has that number. I don't know what the exact number is, Bud. Maybe you can get that for us. We also have Robert Green on the line with us from Fraser Foods in Buena Park, California, because, you know, these tickets are drawn from a variety of retail outlets, and your place is no different, huh, Bob?
We've got a lot of people that will come in and play the not only the Mega Millions that you're talking about, but they also love to play the California Lottery. We've got our Pick Six. We've got a number of different games, a chance that people obviously are going to involve themselves in.
You know, when I get my car washed, I was talking to one of the girls at the counter, and I said, geez, I'm out of cash. I said, and I like to tip the guys that are, you know, washing the car. And she said, they love these lottery tickets. She said, why don't you buy a bunch of those?
Oh, yeah. Well, we all, I think, enjoy that.
Do you play these?
I do not, and it's just not anything that I think of. I think probably when you think about the lottery, you think about people who play the lottery. I guess you might think about people that are economically perhaps not as well off or don't have as much money as I do. I'm fortunate in my life that I've been a successful businessman.
But, you know, no matter how much money you have, there's all kinds of rich people who go to Vegas, you know.
But Vegas is Vegas, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And while we all like a game of chance, to look at the lottery as something, anything other than what it really is, and what it really is, I think, for most people is, it is an opportunity to change their lives. I really see it that way. It is not an idle thing.
So when people are buying a lottery ticket, they're looking to do more than just win themselves a hand of poker, obviously.
Well, yeah, because, you know, there's a lot of money involved, and it depends on the size of the jackpot, obviously. But this Mega Millions jackpot, $650 million. That's a lot of money. And it's, quite frankly, a lot of money to put into the hands of people. I saw that you had linked it, and it's an interesting article. I do recommend it to people. The story there on Radar Online on how
the lotteries change people.
How the different lotteries have impacted people negatively.
Yeah, I've got it on our website. If you go to philhendryshow.com, you'll see, I think it's on the front page there, and we do link the Radar Online story about different people. By the way, it's pretty busy in your store tonight, huh?
I'm sorry, Phil?
It sounds as if it's busy in the store.
We're running a sale tonight, Phil, and we're open a little bit late. Yeah, we got a lot of people in the store tonight. We're always running a sale, though. It's not a very unusual thing to have lots of people in the store. It's something that I believe in personally, but we've always got a sale that we're running, and that's why we've got a lot of people in the store here tonight. I've got them nursing a little bit of a cold, too.
So you got to get home at some point. I want to ask you, Bob, we're talking to Bob Green from Fraser Foods. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Have you ever had a big jackpot winner at your store?
Well, nothing to this extent. Nothing, but we've had two people in the 11 years this store has been open. We've had a couple of people win upwards of $6 million each.
Wow. That's California?
That was in the California lottery, yeah. And that is something that, you know, you experience that. And it's a little tough, I could tell you, as a man who comes from a lot of hard work, and I do come from a lot of hard work, it is difficult to see certain people win these lotteries. And I was talking to Jim Stewart, who was one of my partners in the business. And I said, we were discussing the lottery. I said, you know, Jim, all the work that you and I put in to make this business the success that it is, and then you see some of these individuals who win the lottery, and, you know, last night they might have been sleeping behind your store, you know.
Well, there is a very definite rags-to-riches aspect to that.
Well, it is, but I'm not sure if it's a positive thing. And what I mean by that is this. When you hand a man who has been using drugs or has been unemployed or is not that ambitious, or maybe is just someone who never really was able to get much of an income in his life and he's been stuck at a certain level, and you hand him all that money, the kind of money that someone who works as hard as I do, for instance, might earn, or the kind of money, Bill, that you might earn in your business, when you hand a guy who is a, you know, a lot of the people that come into our store to buy these tickets, I would be honest with you, are they're either blue-collar people or they're unemployed. And I will say that some of them are probably dealing with a drug problem of some kind or a homeless situation of some kind. When you hand people like that a lot of money,
Well, there's a difference between a homeless guy and a drug-addled guy and the blue-collar guy that you're talking about.
Absolutely. The blue-collar guy is working, but they're both coming from the same orientation, which is they're not used to money. And the result is a lot of times it's pretty much the same thing. They get all of this money, and they suddenly begin to feel very empowered. Now, I can tell you, in the two cases that we've had at our store, when I sold a winning lottery ticket to a man who, I think the, one of the $6 million tickets went to a guy who had been literally unemployed for 6 months, and before that, he'd been working a very low, a menial job as a grease monkey at one of these gas stations. And now he wins all this money, and he's coming into my store, and he's walking around in a new suit of clothes, and he's talking to the employees, and he begins to talk to me, and suddenly you notice something. Whereas once before he was someone that I would say, maybe I'd have to tell him to get out of the alley or shoo him away from the front of the store because he was scaring people. Now I have to give him respect. You see what I mean? Now I have to yes sir no sir because if you understand what I'm saying.
Did this happen?
Yeah, this was actually one of the individuals that won this was back in the late 90s. This guy had won a $6 million jackpot.
And he came into the store after winning this?
A few weeks after he had he'd taken the first payment. He had a new car, he had a new suit of clothes, and now he's in there and he's walking around. And I'm running back and forth, getting him, I think he wanted to get a case of steaks. So we're running back and forth, loading the car. And I caught myself in the reflection in the glass of the store as I was carrying a box of steaks out to this car. And I saw myself, and I remembered thinking, like, 2 months ago, I was telling this guy to get away from my store because he was scaring people. And now I am, you know, this is what this kind of money will do to a hardworking guy like me when you just give it to somebody.
Yeah, but you're the guy that's carrying the stakes, Bob, you know.
Well, what do you mean by that? I mean, I know what...
Well, in other words, he's in the store.
Yeah.
And he's a customer, and you are willingly...
He's a customer that I'm sure you're not going to turn down a customer that wants to buy a case of filet mignon, which is what it was. It comes frozen, and you cut it up.
Okay, but you're gladly selling that to him.
I don't have a choice. You're not going to turn that kind of business down. I don't have the choice. So whereas before I was able to come to work and I'd look at this guy and I could feel like I was better than him because I was. And now he wins the lottery, and he's telling me what to do. That's all I'm saying. That's the destructiveness of these lotteries and giving people who are blue-collar or homeless or people like this all this money, because they tend to start to walk around like they're big shots, and it's guys like me that take it in the net.
Well, I don't see where, and I'm not going to argue with you, but I don't see where you take it in the neck so much as maybe your pride's hurt, you know.
Well, maybe my pride's hurt. I want to say it again, Phil. Here's a guy that I had to tell him, either you leave the front of my store or I'm going to call the cops, and 3 or 4 months later, he can buy and sell me. That is not just my pride being hurt. That is absolutely not fair.
All right, Robert Green is with us. It's an interesting point of view, Bob. Hang on the line here, 877-876-7445. Robert Green has joined us as we talk about these lotteries, the Mega Millions, this particular lottery, $650 million. What's it like for a poor man or a blue-collar man or a man who doesn't have a lot of money to get that kind of money and then begin to lord it over a guy who used to have more money than he did? In the case of Bob Green and other business people who sell these lottery tickets to poor guys, and suddenly the guy's walking in, he can buy that store. Is it fair to the businessman who sold him that ticket? 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And don't forget, we're online at philhendryshow.com. And we are with Robert Green from Fraser Foods in Buena Park. $650 million worth of Mega Millions money is up for grabs. And boy, does that jackpot get higher and higher each day. They've drawn another number. We'll see if anybody has that. We're talking to Bob about being a retail owner. As you are, Bob, and you own a lot of stores, and you sell a lot of these tickets. But this is more, it's a personal thing for you, right?
Yeah, it is. Personal, Phil. And as I mentioned, I was talking to, a couple of our partners. Jimmy Hartwig is another guy that's been through the wars with me. And when you're selling these lottery tickets to, I don't mean any offense. You know, what a man does for a living is what a man does for a living. But, I make a certain income. Now, when a guy who drives a cab for a living, or I don't know, is a construction laborer, I don't mean any offense, but you can't expect me to be happy about the fact that now this guy is worth 3, 4, 5, 6 times what I am, and now what used to be a guy who would say, where's the case of Bud, and have to pay me in, the crumpled bills he had in his pocket.
Okay, but so what is bad about that?
Well, what's bad about it what is bad about it is there was a certain amount of pride that I had in being able to say to a guy like that, yes, sir, there's where the beer is, and someday you can be like me if you work really hard. But all of a sudden, this guy in 24 hours has got more money than me, and now I can't say anything to him other than I got to follow him around like I did this one gentleman, because I'm not going to pass up that kind of business. So I've gone from being someone that was an example to him to someone who is waiting on him like a house blank. I don't want to use the word.
No, there's no need to use a word like that. You're bringing it to a level that's a little... I don't think it needs to go to that level.
I don't mean to... I guess...
It sounds like a super personal thing.
No, it's not personal. It's just there are... Just bring it back to that. There are field hands, and then there was the house you-know-what. And when a guy wins a lottery who used to be a cab driver, then he comes into my store and treats me like a house blank, it's really not the way it was supposed to be. That's all.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Trying to see this your way, it's a little hard when you use examples like that. Here's Victoria on the Phil Hendry Show. Victoria, go ahead.
Hi, Phil.
Hi.
I just had a quick comment. As far as being able to go ahead and purchase, with your last dollar, a lottery ticket and winning it, it's nothing that is considered as fair or unfair. It is what it is. I understand, he did go ahead and, work super hard to, you know, build up a store or, you know, manage a store, and I understand that. We have all worked hard, but you really can't, I guess, not belittle, but, you know, look down upon people that don't have more than you do, because in reality, everyone is equal. And it just has, it has nothing to do with fairness or not. And I understand a lot of people think it's fair or unfair. I've heard of doctors winning lotteries, and of course people are like, hey, you know, that, that's super unfair. But, I mean, it really has nothing to do with fairness.
The lady made a very good point. Why would it be unfair if a doctor wins one? You know, I'd like to see that. But here is what I'm trying to say, Victoria, and your points are very well made. The idea that I worked as hard as I did to get the money that I've got, and then a guy who was, I don't know, selling his firstborn so he could get a bag of heroin is suddenly now telling me to take the stakes out to his car, you know?
I doubt seriously, Bob, if that's the case. You know, you're taking it to an extreme.
Well, I'm taking it to an extreme, but what if that was the case?
I would say that money might be a good thing for him.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, that's right. What is money going to do? How's it going to cure a guy who just sold an infant for a bag of meth? How's that money going to cure him?
Well, I don't know if it... Go ahead, Victoria. You might have a perspective on this since we're talking about kids. No, go ahead.
So, I mean, is that what happened? Is that what's going on? Because I haven't...
Well, the guy that won the lottery, there was a guy that won a $6 billion lottery from a ticket he bought in my store, ma'am, back in 1997. This guy, I would say, I don't know, within a month, I think they give you your first payment, but a month before, this was a guy that I would have to tell to get lost from the front of my store because he was scaring the female customers. And I would tell him, get your ass, excuse my language, get it out of here. Within 60 days, I was hauling boxes of steaks out to the trunk of his Cadillac.
Well, why, you know, you're saying this like it's something that was done to you.
Well, what do you mean? How was it not done to me?
You don't have to have the guy as a customer.
I'm not going to pass up that kind of business. So, of course, I'm going to fill the guy's grocery order. And here I am following a guy around who looks like Superfly because his business is that valuable. And again, I use the term house, and I don't want to...
Don't use that phrase, Bob. I just don't see how it's applicable, you know?
Well, that's how I felt. Like I was part of the house staff, one of the house slaves.
A house slave. All right, Victoria, anything else?
No, not really. No, just one last thing is that it is his choice to serve the customer or not.
Right,
so,
that's true.
I mean, at the end, it just boils down to, you know,
You led the lady into that opinion.
No, I didn't lead the lady into that opinion. That was the opinion she had. Thank you, Victoria, for your call. 877-876-7445. Here is Scott. Go ahead, Scott. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Am I talking to Phil here?
This is Phil Henry. Yes, sir.
Yeah, this is Scott. And who am talking? Who am I talking to on the other end?
My guest is Robert Green.
Bob Green,
Mr.
sir.
Robert.
How can I help you? Yes, sir.
Mr. Green. This is Mr.
Yes, sir.
Scott.
Yes,
how you
sir.
Doing this evening? Okay.
I'm fine.
You know, we're burning daylight here, Scott. I've got to go to a commercial break. Tell you what, I want you to hang on for me, and Bob, you hang on for me as well, because we will eventually have to get into a break here.
I have something I want to say.
Well, hold on, and we're going to get into the break, and then I'll give you a chance to talk to the gentleman. Our number is 877-876-7445. I don't know how long it was going to take for us to... and since I don't really have a clock here, Bud, when are we going to get a clock in this place?
They've got one.
Yeah, I know, but it hasn't got any second hands on it, okay? So we're talking to Robert Green about the Mega Millions jackpot. A new number has been selected. It's worth $650 million, if you're ready for that. $650 million. And it's a lot of money. Bob Green is talking with us about selling tickets to people who don't have that much money, or selling tickets to people who are homeless, or selling tickets to people who have blue-collar jobs. And just what that means to him, as far as he's concerned, it's kind of humiliating. 877-876-PHIL. And by the way, if you are a retail owner and you sell these lottery tickets and you have had the experience of selling a ticket to a guy who suddenly has money, does it humiliate you? Do you feel bad that this guy can now buy and sell you? We'll be back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
I wanted to say that.
I know, but we'll, hold on.
Phil Henry.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We have on the line with us Robert Green from Fraser Foods. We're talking about a big jackpot, $650 million. They drew the name, they drew the number for that. And boy, oh boy, whoever wins that is going to be into a whole lot of money. How often are these tickets sold, Bob, where maybe it's two or three people, do you know?
I don't know, Phil. That generally is something that is agreed upon by the people involved. We'll sell a ticket to someone. In a lot of ways, for me, it would be better if we sold it to, if one ticket went to three or four or five people, because it cuts down the amount of money. Because, again, I'm very happy to have the people come into the store and buy. If all they're doing is buying lottery tickets, I have to take that into consideration. I have to be aware of the fact that in a month or 2 months, this guy's going to come back into my store telling me to lug a case of steaks out to the trunk of his new Cadillac. And I've got to be ready for that.
And well, what do you have to be ready for?
Excuse me?
What are you trying to be ready for? You know.
Well, it's an assault. It's a brutal assault to the nervous system and to your pride when someone that you told, hey, if you get off of heroin and you stop drinking that wine, one day you could be like me, and now he can buy and sell you. That's a pretty tough thing for a lot of retailers to deal with.
877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show. Boy, I'll tell you, I'm learning something new every day. Now we'll go back to Scott, who's been hanging on the line. Go ahead, Scott.
Mr. Green, I got to tell you this. This is not a fair world. The entire concept of fairness is an ideology between human beings. And we as human beings are in this world, and we have no control over the entire world. Fairness does not come in to the equation, right? So if you've been stepped on because, you listen to me. Don't interrupt me. It's my turn.
What do you do for a living?
Let this gentleman talk, Bob.
So somebody, you feel like you've been stepped on because somebody won a whole lot of money. Now, instead of them being somebody you want to kick off your front business step, they're a customer in your store, and they could either buy your store, buy you, or sell you out. That just proves my point. This is not a fair world. This is not a fair world, and fairness has nothing to do with it. If I win $200 or $300 million tomorrow, and I show up over at your store, I could tell you to step and fetch, and you don't have a choice unless you want to quit and walk out. And that's just the way it is.
But that's the point. That's the point I'm making, and Mr. Henry is a witness. You see what I'm saying? This guy just told me what he's going to do.
Why would you? Okay, let me ask you this. No offense to Scott. Why would you serve him?
I'm not going to pass up that kind of. That's got nothing to do with it. Why would I pass up that kind of business? So this guy's going to make me do a dance. Now, how fair is that?
Well, like the gentleman said, there is no fairness. But here's fair. If he shows up, Scott shows up with his $300 million. And he tells you to step and fetch, you can say, you know, I don't want to serve you. I don't want your. I don't know. I don't know if you could. I don't know what would be the legal grounds for that.
But I wouldn't. You'd have to be out of your mind to tell a guy with $300 million to get lost. But the fact that he's going to make me jump around like I'm the house slave, I know you don't want me using the N-word, so I won't use it, is proof. proving my point.
Proving your point of what? Anybody with money is going to go and buy something. They're going to buy a lot of something, as a matter of fact. They may, if you are lucky enough, you will be the recipient of their business.
Yeah, but I... So you're going to have me carrying stuff out to the trunk of your Cadillac? Is that what you're saying, sir?
Yeah.
Do you understand, have you ever been to jail? I don't know if you have or not. I have. I've been in jail once in my life when I was a young man.
You well, I'll tell you what. If you, were,
you know what
if
happens
you were
when
jail,
you're young and you get manhandled in a jail cell? That's what you want to do to me in the retail sense.
Oh, come on.
If you were in jail with me, you'd be my buddy.
There you go. There, did you hear what he said?
Well, Bob, you're sort of walking into that, okay?
No, I'm not walking into any. There's no way I turned down a guy with... So, in other words, in order for him to protect me in jail, I'd have to be his girlfriend.
You don't have to be. You know, you can fight back or you can...
No, you don't get it. You don't get the politics of jail.
How is it that we're talking about jail when we're talking a minute ago about the lottery? Thank you very much for your call, Scott. That part I don't get. Let's go over here to Jay on the Phil Hendry Show. Jay, go ahead.
Hey, thank you very much. This is blowing so out of proportion.
I'm not talking about jail, Phil. I'm talking when he brought that up.
No, you brought up jail as... Excuse me, Jay. Go ahead, man. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, that's okay. It's just... It's so crazy that it shows the greed. But, you know, this is an opportunity for anybody to win something that would be huge. And I truly believe that... something, you know, divine is going to control who wins that. And if not, you know, but, you know, to not sell meat or something to somebody and he doesn't want you to carry it out to his car, that's ridiculous. I mean, somebody's going to get this.
I don't want to be somebody's butler. Why do I have, you're asking me and Phil's telling me that I've got to stand
I'm gonna probably throw you a couple of $100,000 and say thanks, you know? I mean, that's how our attitude should be. We just got blessed with something that's crazy, and the lottery does do good for some, you know, educational things, I hope.
You're gonna throw me $200,000 like I'm some little kid on the sidewalk. See, that's what I mean. I know you mean well, but turning me into Anthony Hopkins in Remains of the Day. Did you ever see that movie, Phil?
Yeah.
You saw what a pathetic slob he was, right?
Go ahead, Jay.
Remains of the Day.
I know the movie. Yeah, I'm waiting for the gentleman to say something here. I apologize.
In Remains of the Day, Anthony Hopkins was a loser. He was a loser.
Yeah. And he plays a great role.
Right, but that's the character, and that's what happens to me when one of my customers that 6 months before was walking in here with three babies in a stroller and not enough money to buy a bottle of milk. Now she's got all this money, and she's got me following her out to her car like I'm some loser in a long-tailed coat.
Well, Phil, you know,
well, why wouldn't you be happy for that? I don't understand why you wouldn't be happy for that person and why you wouldn't say, that's fantastic.
Absolutely.
All right, sir, thanks for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Hugo on the Phil Hendry Show. Hugo, go ahead, sir.
Bob, we all work for money. Would you agree?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So,
I'm sorry?
We all work for money. Would you agree? Do you hear me?
I think some of us do.
Most of us work for a paycheck. Okay. Whether you're a business owner, whether you're working from 9 to 5, we all work for money. And life.
Well, but some people don't work. What do you say about the people that don't work?
That is besides the point. We're all in this for money. The people that are on welfare, the people that are on, taking advantage of the system, that's besides the point. I'm talking about somebody that works, somebody that, you know, wants to better themselves. We all work for money, okay? Life is not fair. I'm a 21-year-old illegal Mexican that came into this country with no way to go, brought here without me knowing what I was going to do, okay?
You're illegal?
You
got to be kidding me. I don't have to. Life may be unfair, but I don't have to deal with you. You ought to be in jail.
Okay.
Life's unfair. Maybe life's unfair.
That is exactly why life is unfair. Now, I get up every morning and I...
No. There's a solution to your... There's a solution to you. It's called calling immigration. There's no solution to some guy winning $600 million and telling me to take steaks out to his car. I got to bend over and smile while I get it.
Okay. Well, you don't have to. Just like, I mean, if I go into your store and I walk in with $500,000 and I say, here you go, take this out to my car, please, I mean, what are you going to do then?
Call ICE.
Okay. What do you have against me? They're going to laugh at you. There's 12
You're
million
illegal.
Of us. 12 million
You're illegal.
Of us.
You're illegal.
12 million of us.
I don't know. I'm dealing with you. You're illegal.
I mean, it's like I got all this money and... I mean, just saying.
Well, you may have a lot of... You know what the good news about that is? I'm still going to get your business, and I hand you over to immigration.
Well, see... The thing is,
that's
that's why he's treating you like a little beep, because you are a little beep. And that is exactly why
you... Well, you know, if you came into my store with $200 million, and you start getting me to haul steaks out to the trunk of your Cadillac, and then I find out that you're illegal... Oh, man.
Okay, Bob. I mean, this has turned into a class war between you and the people that come into your store.
No. I don't play that. No, you're not going to stick that with me. This is not a class
war. I mean, if I were a different ethnicity, then you'd still be that same way with me, and then I wouldn't even be going into your store. I'd be finding a way to make your life
impossible. You told me you're illegal.
I said you're illegal.
That's all. I'm just telling you that as an illegal, you don't even have the right to that $200 million. And that's the other thing. They should check these people before they buy a ticket.
Oh, yeah, right, to see what their citizenship is?
Yeah, or before they collect it.
Okay.
Well, I don't think it's going to happen.
That's exactly the reason why I didn't buy a lottery ticket. It's good. I didn't play the lottery because, like...
I just want to be clear, sir. Are you saying that I'm somebody's house slave because I don't... Because, in other words...
I mean,
if
just
the
kind of person you are. You got to look in the mirror and examine yourself because... You're being a little hater to somebody that won a substantial amount of money. If somebody had a bigger business than you, you would still be upset. You know, it's not my fault your life sucked. It's not my fault you went to jail. It's not my fault you didn't win the lottery.
Look at it from my point of view. You come into my store, and I know you're illegal, and I give you a break, and I say, that's okay, whatever your name is.
Okay,
you can hang around. Whatever. And then the next day you come in and you've won the lottery, you got $600 billion, and you're telling me to go and get you a case of champagne, get all the filet mignon, and of course I'm going to say yes. So
you're going to humble yourself into this Anthony Hopkins character you were making fun of, but it's this guy's fault.
Yeah, he's illegal, and he's coming in, and he's running me around. He's dropping the soap on the tile, you know what I'm saying?
He's dropping the soap on the tile.
Yes. That's what's happening.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I hope I don't ever go into your business, but...
Thank you for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL. Bob, I'm having a difficult time understanding the rationale here.
There's no rationale, Phil. All I'm telling you is I worked hard for my money. Now there are homeless guys and blue-collar guys and illegals and all of these people who are worth $600 billion... And I've got to stand there and smile and go fetch the extra big bag of Depends, and because they still have all the kids. You know?
All right, hold on. 877-876-7445. They still have all the kids. Robert Green with us here from Fraser Foods in Buena Park as we talk about the Mega Millions jackpot of $650 million. And when you are a retail business and you're like Bob, you're selling the ticket to somebody who might have been homeless, might have been blue collar, might have been poor, and suddenly they've got a lot of money. He says it's a painful assault to their pride. To see some guy that was poor having more money than them. 877-876-7445. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, he did. So you see, this guy came in.
Well, yeah, his name is Fred. Help Frank out, will you? Tell him his name is Frank, Phil. He won this lottery about over 10 years ago. He comes into the store, and now he's coming in. I don't know if he's listening to the broadcast. What do you think? Yeah, all right. He needs a case of that mum champagne.
A case of mums?
Right. Yeah, I'll take it up. See, he gets a kick out of it. And this is the point that I'm trying to make. When I say to you, someday you can be like me, you can be successful like me, someday you can actually do something to contribute something to this world. But until that time, you are an eyesore. You are hanging out in front of my store. You look like hell, and you're scaring people. Now get the hell out of here. When I say that to you, and then you turn around and you win $600 million, and you're coming into my store like this guy Frank just did. Yeah, Frank. Telling me to, you know, hop too, like I'm the houseboy. And of course, now, to answer your question, Phil, yeah, of course I'm going to hop too like the houseboy, because this guy means a lot of money to this business. So I've got to grin and nod, and then go up to my office at night when business is over and everybody's gone and no one can see me. And there are nights when I break down and cry, because I feel as if I've just been passed around a shower. I know you don't...
These jail references are really wrong, man. You know, I mean, you're talking about jail rape, basically. That's what you feel like. You know, you're putting this off on some experience you had, and it's just continuing now in your business, your professional life. Somebody comes in, and you're crying because you had to show this man deference, where at one time you told him to get lost. I think it's got more to do with the fact that you lorded it over somebody, and now you don't get to do that anymore. And it bothers you.
Of course it bothers me.
Well, why?
Because I used to be an example of what a man ought to be, and it doesn't make any difference. This guy, who would have sold his firstborn equal weight in crack, you don't get it. You know, you got to be a quality. You have to be a guy like me to get it. And I say this with the greatest of respect, Phil.
Well, I happen to think I'm a quality man.
Yeah, okay. All right, Phil. I no doubt you are, but... Have you got my kind of money?
No, I don't.
All right.
So that means I'm not a quality guy.
Have you got my kind of money?
No, I don't.
I rest my case.
877-876-PHIL here on the Phil Henry Show as we talk to Robert Greene. Let's go to a phone call. We got a lot of people hanging on, and we do appreciate you guys hanging with us. Here is Rick. Go ahead, Rick. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Bob Greene.
Yeah, hi, Bob. Couple words.
Yes, sir.
Have you ever heard of the word
sir.
Customer service? Okay? You
That's
you
two
should
words,
be,
but yes, I have.
Yeah, you should be pleasured that these people come into your establishment. And also, the fact
drug
that
addict?
You have a choice. You have a choice to sell those lottery tickets or not. You don't have to sell those. Okay?
No, I don't. You're right. I don't.
You have a choice, so don't sell them. If you don't want
why
to
would I pay? No, I'm not going to. I'm not throwing money away. If that's what you're asking me to do, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, but you're also throwing in money away if you're going to be judgmental against those people who come into your store, who buy things from you to make money.
I'm not being judgmental. I don't judge them to their face when they leave and business is over for the day. Then I'm alone with my own demons. Yeah.
Alone
so
with
choice.
Your own demons.
Your choice, dude.
How do you figure that's my choice? Is it really your choice? Let me ask you. Here, I'm going to give you a good example. If
okay,
I said to you, if I said to you, Rick, you just won $650 million, but it's your choice whether you want it or not, you're going to look at me like I'm crazy. You're going to say, of course there's no choice there. Well, the same with me. You say it's my choice. No, it isn't my choice. Of course I want to sell that guy $3,000, $4,000 worth of groceries every time he walks in here.
Right,
well, then
you've
got to
make your money. If you don't want
exactly.
to sell that in that area, move your store and take it to another area there at more money.
But the point is, when I do take his business, I've got to walk around with the bent back like some butler.
No,
okay?
You don't.
Like
you
a,
can have
a,
other
a,
people
where,
do it who work for you. Okay?
And, yeah, they and do it, but here's the thing. They always want me to do it. They always say, oh, no, I want Bob to do it. And I feel like, forgive me, Phil, you don't like me using these images, but I can't think of anyone. I feel like Uncle Ben, if you've seen the guy on the box of
Come
on,
you're being so judgmental. Okay, first of all, do you have any kids of your own?
Yes, I do.
Okay, are they successful like you?
They're not successful like me, no. I don't think I could take that, and I know that that's bad to say.
You couldn't take it?
You couldn't raise your kids wrong then, Bob.
How did I raise my kids wrong?
Because they're not like you.
I don't want them to be like me. I don't want them to be like me.
You want them to be successful like you want other people?
Not as much as me. I don't want them to be successful like me.
Well, that's weird. No wonder you're having problems with your customers.
Yeah, I think you have emotional problems that you need to deal with a psychologist. Because if I was in your town and your store, I wouldn't go in your store.
You wouldn't go in my store. Why? Because I sold you a lottery ticket.
You're so judgmental of people.
Are you trying to tell me that you're going to bypass the sale prices, the quality food, the quality service, because you think I'm judgmental? You're going to say to your wife, let's not shop there. That guy's judgmental.
Yeah,
she's going to think, excuse me for saying this, she's going to think you're some kind of a queer.
Hey. The last half hour, I've been hearing you on the radio. Okay?
And she's going to think that there's something wrong with you, like you're gay.
No, she isn't. Because she's going to respect me and not respect you because you don't like the people who hang out in your store.
You're going to tell your wife, let's not go in that store because the guy in there is judgmental. She's going to think that they revoked the chest hair on you.
All right. Thank you very much for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Bob Green coming back right after this. Here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. On the line with me is Robert Green from Fraser Foods in Buena Park, California, where tonight they're having a little bit of a spring sale at a very, very busy store this evening. It's early yet here in Southern California, where we're doing our show live. And I know you have a successful business. We've been talking about the sale of lottery tickets, the sale of these Mega Millions tickets, the sale of these Super Bowl, Powerball, whatever the hell they're called.
Super Bowl, Phil, is a toy that you and I played with as kids. Powerball.
Powerball.
Powerball is a multi-state, as is Mega Millions, and it has been known to have a lot of money in it. Now, this one tonight is $650 million. This gentleman I was telling you about, Frank, is in a store. He's ordering everybody around like he's the king of some small Central European country, and he's got a whole bunch of imbecile nephews. It's unbelievable. And what I'm trying to say to you...
A bunch of imbecile nephews?
Yeah, there was a guy that I was reading about. He was a mad king in Central Europe, Mad Ludwig. You ever read about him?
I think so.
Right.
He built all those crazy castles.
Exactly. When you sell a lottery ticket to a person that was poor or homeless or was a drug addict or was one of these blue-collar, guys who drove a cab or he's a construction worker or something like that, when you sell a lottery ticket to them and they win, what happens is you're dealing with an individual who's not unlike that Central European monarch. They're good people, but they go a little crazy, and you are forced to be a footman for a mad monarch, an individual that wants to buy all kinds of crazy art and wants to buy a stupid...
All right, and when they come into your store, are they buying stupid things?
You put me in an uncomfortable position. I'll tell you why. Because I don't want to say, yes, they're buying stupid things because they're my customers. And I don't want it to get out.
You don't want it to get out that you think they're wasting their money and their nouveau riche. And,
Phil, I didn't use the term nouveau riche.
Well, that's what you're saying, though. They're nouveau riche people, which means newly rich, and they are wasting money, and you don't want it to get out that you're looking down your nose at their purchases.
I don't want my customers feeling like I judge them.
But that's exactly what you're doing.
I don't believe that what I'm saying, yes, that's what I'm doing, but I do judge them, and there are days that I hate them. There are days that I hate the business I went into, and I.
Well, that's something nobody can help you with, Bob.
No, I'm not asking for anybody to help, but what I'm saying is, I don't think that giving someone who is the kind of person I was mentioning, these blue-collar types, giving them a $650 million jackpot, I don't personally think it should be legal. I think it needs to be broken up into smaller amounts for people who have a certain lifestyle or income that would indicate that once they won a lot of money, they'd start walking into a store like mine, dressed like, you know, I was warned not to use the term, but Superfly. And
well, everything you're saying here is very racially tainted. That's what I'm saying. You know,
in what way?
When you say that you're the house slave, that the guy walked in dressed like Superfly, that they're treating you like Uncle Ben, you know, these are all very, very charged phrases that you have to be careful of. And all they do, Bob, in my opinion, and I think my listeners have agreed, they indicate to me that you have a personality problem.
I've got a personality problem. My political point of view.
It is not a political point of view. I don't see it that way.
Well, it's, you know, that's your opinion.
But I have ample reason to think the way I'm thinking. Okay?
That's your opinion. It's not mine.
877-87, you know, I'm not trying to get in an argument here.
No, I understand that, but you've got an opinion. It's wrong.
877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Talking here to Robert Green. We'll go to Mike. Mike, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show, sir.
Hey, Phil. It's good to talk to you.
Yes, sir.
Bob, who built your store? What kind of people built your store that you have, this glorious store?
Well, I don't. I guess you want me to say construction workers. Yeah, obviously.
So do any of those guys that sweat and put all their energy into building your store, do they have a right to win the lottery?
I didn't say they didn't. I am saying, though, that the amounts of money they win should be smaller than what I would allow.
They should have big lotteries for rich people like you that think you're high and mighty and above everyone else.
No, what you can do, well, sir, you know, you can insult me.
They should have rich people lotteries and poor people lotteries.
No. No, you take the 650 million.
You
take the 600. No, but I can tell you, I'm probably worth more than you. That's why you're angry at me.
I'm not angry at you, and I don't measure work by the size of my bank account. That has nothing to do with being a good man or a decent person.
That's how a poor man would talk. That's what poor people say. That's how poor people talk.
That's
my financial situation. I'll give you a small example of what kind of person I am. I brought my son to a charity basketball game 2 weeks ago. He was walking into the game. It was at the high school. It was $3 to get in. Another kid was walking up to the door, and he said, "You have to pay to get in here." And my son said, "Don't worry about it, buddy. I got you." He didn't even know the kid, but he gave him the $3 to get in.
Well, that's your son. That's not you. Obviously, I'm talking to you.
Where do you think he got it from?
You'd probably be the guy to tell a kid to get lost. Good thing you got a son like that.
Oh, for crying out loud, Bob.
You know what?
That's what
he
said.
Out of your mind,
the guy, wait
you
a minute. What, sir, you said, you're talking to me about your son. I'm going to give your son credit. I'm going to give your son credit. I'm not giving
you
credit.
If I win the lottery, I'm going to come down to your store. I'm going to buy all the property around your store, and I'm going to put you out of business because you don't deserve
it. You're going to buy the property. Sir, I'm saying is that I will sell anybody a lottery ticket.
Now, where did you find this
but
guy?
But I don't think it's worthy.
I didn't think there were human beings alive that act like this guy.
I don't. Excuse me, sir, but I've been in business for 23 years in this location,
well,
and I've built
a chain
of stores.
That makes you my hero. You're an American
that's
hero.
Right.
Everyone
there
should
you
be
go.
More like
well,
Bob. If everyone was more like Bob, this country would be such a better place.
Well, if everybody was more like me and your son, you, on the other hand,
don't ever put your name in the same sentence as my son. My son is so much more of a man than you ever will be. You don't even want your kids to be successful. What kind of father are you? You don't want your kids to be successful.
I don't need my kids. I don't want my kids lording it over me. All of a sudden you're telling me that I'm supposed to be...
You don't want anyone about you. That's what the problem is. It's all about status. It's all about how much money you got in the bank. You don't want anyone
I'm going to ask you a question. Do you want your kid telling you to go load the trunk of his Cadillac with steaks? That's what you want, huh?
What are you talking about, Bob?
If my son wants to be a janitor, that's fine with me. If he wants to be the president of the United States, that's fine with me. Whatever he wants to do in life, I'm going to help him get to make his goals, whatever they may be. It doesn't matter.
If your son becomes president, and he says, you know what, Dad, I'm sorry, but I think the IRS needs to audit you, you're going to give him a big, fat smile. Is that it? Yeah, right.
Oh, well, come on.
Are you kidding me? You are a fool.
Are you trying to tell me, Bob, that...
No, I'm asking the guy. That's a perfectly legitimate question. He's telling me that I'm supposed to be happy when a guy comes into my store that I used his talent to get lost because he was dirtying up the store. And now
no,
I got
you
to
totally get lost because you think you're above him. You think you're above everyone. You think there's no one that's...
I got customers coming in there that want to see me walking out because I'm...
Do you think alcoholics and drug addicts choose to do that? Do you think they choose that's what they want to be in life as an alcoholic or a drug addict? Do you think that's what they get up in the morning and say, this is what I want to do today? No, it's not.
I think a lot of them do because they don't have to work.
Well, you don't know anything about drug addiction then or alcoholism.
Okay, look, the two of you guys get together and open up a nice little drug rehab place, and you can hold hands and do whatever you want. I'm talking about working for a living, and when I go to my store...
You know, I can't believe that you are taking the things we're saying here that you would take with this kind of callousness, Bob. And the thing that I notice, you don't take any responsibility. If I say to you, well, okay, you're the guy that decided to take that frozen shrimp out to that guy's trunk, out to the trunk of his Cadillac, you say it's not your fault.
How could it be my fault if I'm not going to turn down a guy wants to get frozen lobster and he's buying it by the dozen? I'm going to say no.
That's the guy that's humiliating you, I thought.
Well, yes, he is. He's humiliating me.
I hope all your customers are listening to this right now. Because
dress me in a white jacket and just call me Uncle Ben, because that's what you guys want.
I would never patronize your store. I would do everything I could to go to your competition and never patronize your store. Because
that's what you say until you see our sale prices. Then you're in here pretending to somebody else.
I pay twice as much not to go in your store. You're a fool.
The quality of our produce, you'd come in disguise. I've had people tell me they hate my guts, so they put on a disguise to come in here and shop, and I'm not kidding either. And
who?
I can tell you, I can give you names.
Are you telling me there's people that hate your guts and put on a disguise to shop in your store?
Yes. Okay, look, see, never mind.
Now this is turning into a real comedy show.
Well, you know something, sir? I don't know what you do for a living. I haven't run your business down.
You know what I do for a living?
I even praised your son. I praised your son.
You know what I do for a living? Call me names. You're a fool.
That's it. It's very simple. I bet you if I talked to your son, he'd understand.
No, his son is giving money to a poor guy that can't get in. You don't do that.
What do you mean I don't do that? I just sold a guy a lottery ticket.
You're not giving him any money. All right, look at Mike. Thanks for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Robert Green from Fraser Foods on selling these lottery tickets. He is talking about limiting the amount of money that individuals who are poor or homeless or blue-collar can win because he doesn't want to see those same people coming into his store as rich people suddenly ordering him around. Now, that's what I'm hearing him say. If I'm getting it wrong, I'm sure he'll tell me. 877-876-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So you're saying, essentially, Bob, you want these large jackpots that, for instance, tonight people are very much focused on the Mega Millions, which is $650 million. You want these large jackpots carved up?
What I'd like to see, Phil, is a more responsible dissemination of this money so that you're not giving $650 million to an individual that yesterday was... a guy that's picking bottles up out of a vacant lot or asking for a couple of bucks to sweep a porch, now you've given him $650 million. And that guy is going to turn around and come into my store where I just hired him 2 weeks ago to sweep up.
And he's going to come into your store and what? He's going to spend a lot of money?
He's going to come into my store and spend a lot of money and get his kicks watching me running around, like I said, like Uncle Ben. And
so what all is the only thing in this equation?
And I think it's irresponsible, if I can continue my thought.
Go ahead.
It's irresponsible to give him that kind of money so that guys like him get their kicks, forcing me to revisit a very traumatic experience as a young man, which was that jail experience.
Are you going to go before a...
I'm being very, very clear here.
No, hold on for a minute. Are you going to go before a state or a federal investigative committee of elected representatives and sit down and say to them, gentlemen, I want to rework the configuration and the policy of disseminating the money in lotteries, state lotteries. I want to make this so that it's spread out more evenly because the guys that are poor win and then they make me feel like I'm in jail getting manhandled again.
What? What did you just say?
Oh, come on, Bob. You know exactly... You said...
I'm telling you that these guys that win these jackpots, all I'm asking for is a more equitable spread of the money so a guy that was drinking Sneaky Pete wine out in front of my place 2 weeks ago, looking like that guy. Did you see that guy? You know the guy I'm talking about. Who's the guy that they had and they made him into a movie star? What's the guy?
What? I don't know the guy. Who are you talking about?
The homeless guy they just put on TV.
The Ted Williams guy?
Yeah, the guy that he did the macaroni. I know because we got the Kraft products here. And, oh, my God, they got this guy's picture. I can't believe it. And people, oh, where's the macaroni and cheese with that homeless guy? And all of a sudden, I'm just another bum.
Because they're paying more attention to him.
That's right.
877-876-7445 here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Let me go over to Jeremy on the Phil Hendry Show. Jeremy, go ahead, sir.
Hey, Phil, good morning. This is my first time I've actually stumbled upon your show, and... This guy's spectacular. Sir, Bob, can I ask you something? You've had this for 23 years?
Yes, sir, that is correct. Our chain, which is Fraser Foods, 25 stores throughout the Southwest and the Southeast. So it's not just one store.
25 stores, wow.
Yes,
okay,
sir.
So you're a pretty successful guy. Is this your life's work? I mean,
it most certainly is.
And do you take pride in it?
I most certainly do.
You do? Then why do you
care? And the reason why I do is because we have been successful. And rather than you interrogating me, I should be asking you questions to see whether you measure up to be like me.
Well, don't get personal with this guy, you know.
I'm not even going to dignify that with a response.
Well, you know, I mean, you're sitting there asking me, you're giving me questions like it's the third degree or something.
The guy's asking questions.
You're on the radio show, you dummy. You're the one on the radio show talking about this. So, yeah, I'm
calling me a dummy now.
You're
calling
me
a dummy. You're calling me a dummy? Is that what you're calling me?
Yeah, very much so.
I come on your show.
You sound like an ignorant ass. You're an ignorant ass.
All right, so far you've called me a dummy. You called me an ape. Did you call me an ape?
No, he did not call you an ape.
Ignorant ass.
You said ape. I heard the word ape.
I said ignorant ass. Did you hear that?
Well,
did I say clear?
I heard it. Now that you've changed it, yeah, I heard that. It was ape.
Why do you care? His money's green like everybody else's, right?
That's true, but there's a problem.
Off of it, right?
There's a problem. There's a problem.
What's the problem?
The problem's this. That guy now walks around like he's my equal or even better than me, and he didn't earn that. All he did was walk in and drop a couple of bucks on a counter along with the wine.
So let it go! If you take pride in your work, if you take pride in your life's work, why should his money bother you? Just let it roll off your back.
If I take pride in my wife's work, what does that mean?
Your life's work.
Oh.
Your life's...
I'm saying to you, with the same dollar bill that he bought that bottle of Ripple wine and that fortified stuff, he dropped on the counter, he got a lottery ticket. That's all the
when he had no money, he was at your store. Now he's got a ton of money, and he's at your store buying filet mignons and champagne. Who cares?
That's right.
Who cares?
I'm glad he's at my store, but what I'd like him to do is quit ordering me around like I'm a houseboy.
Just shut up about it. By the way, what's wrong with blue-collar workers? Can I ask you that? Because I'm one. I work my ass off. I work 50-plus hours a week.
There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with it at all. Nothing wrong with it at all. It's just that
workers don't deserve to have robbery.
Now, hold on. What I'm saying is, there's nothing wrong with being a blue-collar worker. But when it comes to divvying up the money, you should get a smaller amount. Yes, yes. You should get a smaller amount so it's easier for you to handle.
Why can't he get the bigger amount?
Because they're not used to handling that kind of money.
How about you mind your own business? How about minding your own business, buddy?
Are you kidding? You know what you're going to do. You're going to turn around and buy a lot of cheap art and a bunch of trailers. I don't know what the...
It's none of your business. The guy just made the point. It's none of your business.
Right, Bill.
Oh, great. Yeah, it's none of my business?
It's none of your business.
When you come into my store and you start ordering all this macaroni and cheese and all this garbage, and I got to stand there smiling like, you know, I'm the chief of staff at the White House kitchen.
I would never go to your store.
It is humiliating. What do you mean you'd never go to my store? Would you take a look at the sale prices that I've got?
Well, you
You keep going back to that. You sound like a mental patient.
Excuse me, sir, but I happen to have one of the most competitively priced products in the field. That's why people come to my store.
It doesn't matter. You belong
anybody that wants to save money, but you're going to come
into
my store.
You belong in a straitjacket.
All right. Well, why don't you go ahead and get ready for your millions? Go buy your Superfly outfit, and I'll see if I.
You belong in a straitjacket.
Okay. All right, gentlemen. I'm going to take a break. 877-876-PHIL.
You let him have the last word on that.
Well, I think you just did.
Well, nothing I can say is going to compete with. He said he called me I belong in a straitjacket.
Yes, he did. And you keep repeating it.
I had no choice. He got the last word.
Anyway, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back. Phil Henry Show. It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and the number is 877-876-PHIL. Bob Green is at his store there, which is Fraser Foods in Buena Park. And I will admit, Bob, you've got a busy store tonight.
Phil, we have a busy store all the time, and the reason is because we have, as I say, a service second to none in price, in service. All I'm asking is something that I guess is too much tonight. If you win the lottery at my store, and you come in dressed up
Well, you're talking about dressed up. You do this whole... You mentioned Superfly more than once, which I think is a little on the... I got to say it's racist.
How is that racist?
What is that about, man, Superfly?
I'm saying that people without money, or people that are the blue collar... Or this guy got upset with me. I don't know what else to call him. We aren't talking about people with a lot of taste in clothing.
And do you have taste?
Yes, I do. Do I have taste? Yes, I do have taste. I'm used to buying good clothes because I am somebody who's used to spending money. I shop at, I've got a men's store that I go to. My clothing is tailored for me. I buy, most of the time, the suits that I order are custom made. Now, this is something you could never explain to some guy who was coming into your store 3 weeks ago and buying fortified wine. And
by the way, do you sell fortified wine?
Yes, I do.
And why?
Well, what do you mean, why?
Why do you sell fortified wine in your store?
I'll tell you. You want to know the answer?
Yes.
Because these winos like it.
That's right. That's right, Bob. So what you do is you cater to an already devastating disease.
Oh, come on, Phil.
No, you cater to an already devastating disease, a disease that these men have and these women have, and you sell them that fortified stuff so they get hammered quicker on less money.
Have you ever heard of supply and demand?
You know what I'm talking about.
Have you ever heard of supply and demand, Mr. Henry?
And I suppose if rat poison was in high demand, you'd be selling that stuff, huh?
Let me tell you something, Mr. Henry, as long as you're judging me. There was a Twilight Zone not too long ago, maybe you remember it, where the family's gathered around, and they're waiting to inherit their money. And the man who's about to die tells them all to put on masks. And you know the one I'm talking about?
Yeah, their faces stayed that way and if they were going to inherit the money.
Right. Even if I knew that my face was going to stay the way that mask looked, let's say it was a big frown, a real ugly face, I'd put it on if that's what I got to do. Because that's what I do to make a dollar for my family.
And make a dollar for your family? You're talking about inheriting money from some old man who believes you to be such an avaricious, scum-sucking dog that he makes you put on a mask so your face twists into this look. And
Whoa. Are you talking to me?
That's what that show was about.
I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying that I would put on a mask and make myself look ugly to make a decent dollar for my family.
What? That's not what the show is about.
Yes, it was.
Let me get to some phone calls here.
Well, Phil, you keep saying let me get to some phone calls. Every time I get you into a position, you know, where I am able to make a good point, you know. I mean, I was put into a position years ago. Well, you don't want to hear about it, but it was in a jail cell.
877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Henry Show. I'm going to go to another phone call here. On the line, we have Dan. Go ahead, Dan. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Bob Green.
You guys are so lucky. I'm the guy with all the answers here. Now listen, Bob, relax, sit back. I'm in Illinois. It's 1:30 in the morning.
Every time a guy starts off a phone conversation with me sounding like this guy, I usually hang up on them. But to be nice to you, Phil, I'll keep listening.
No, don't hang up. I started my business when I barely got out of high school. I started cleaning office buildings and toilets and everything like that. Right now I'm a multi-millionaire.
Buildings and toilets. You build
and
buildings and toilets?
I cleaned all
buildings, buildings and toilets.
A cleaning service.
All right. Okay.
And then in 1980, I started buying buildings, and I really liked rehabbing them. Right now I'm a multi-millionaire. I own...
And you're drunk.
Office buildings and stuff like that. But, Bob, what you're doing to yourself here?
Are you drunk?
No, I'm not drunk.
Well, why did you say you're a multi-millionaire like that?
Don't worry about it, Bob. Listen to the man.
Okay.
But what I'm trying to say, Bob, is what you're missing. The point is, Bob, you're successful because you worked hard, and you're disregarding the fact that you worked so hard in your life, and you're worrying about other people and their... you know, where they're at. I worked for 18 months on crutches because I had to have a hip replaced and a knee replaced in 2010.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, I mean, people don't understand. A lot of people ask me, how'd you get where you're at? And I tell them, you know, look, I worked pretty much 28 years, 14 hours a day.
Let me ask you a question. What if a kid that worked for you knocked on your office door tomorrow and said, how you doing, Charlie, whatever your name is. Excuse me, I forgot your name.
His name is Dan.
Dan. He said, hi, Dan, you remember me? And you go, yeah, I remember you. Well, guess what? I want to buy your company.
Hey.
And,
tell me a price, pal. I don't care.
You know, I only have a certain amount of money.
Here's the point, Bob. I've only got a certain amount of money, Dan,
but I'm hoping that you'll talk turkey with me because... I really, really want to buy your business, but I'm only willing to go to a certain limit financially.
Well, what are you talking about?
What if this guy tries to muscle you?
I don't know what you're talking about.
What if he tries to muscle you?
That's not what you were talking about.
What about, Phil, I'm talking to this gentleman. What if the kid tries to muscle you?
The bottom point is, Bob, you have to respect what you've done in your life, not where other people are at. It doesn't matter. It shouldn't matter to you. Where other people
you won't answer my question.
$1 million.
What if that kid made you bark like a dog?
What?
No one makes me bark like a dog. I don't care if I've only got 2 cents.
But what I'm saying to you is if this kid came around and used to work for you and he had enough money and he said, go ahead, bark for it. And he used to work for you.
Bob, if that guy said to you, I want Bob to carry this stuff out to my car, I'd say, I'm sorry, I can't do that. Only my employees do that. But they'll take care of you. And please come back again.
No, he would say, no, I want Bob.
That's too bad. Bob can't do
it.
You'll have to take your business elsewhere. What do you care about?
No, no way. No, that's not... Because that's a lot of money that I've just told to kiss off. I've just told a whole lot of money to go take a walk. That's why I'm saying to you, wouldn't you bark like a dog for money?
Oh, God. I mean, you're asking basically...
No, you're missing the point. Here's the cool part.
You wouldn't bark like a dog?
Let me in with this.
If you're talking about being successful in business, part of it is barking like a dog.
All right, okay, listen, I got to take a break. All right, I got to move on to another call or something. Thank you very much, Dan, for your call, because you're right. I think that guy was drunk. Here is Antonio. Go ahead, Antonio. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yeah, thank you for my language. But, you know, this Bob guy,
Would you bark like a dog for...
Would you let this man talk, not talk, Bob? Sorry, Antonio. Go ahead.
This guy, you know, I'm glad has never been in his store. I don't know. He's got an attitude that is better than everybody else, you know, and he's not. He's not better than me. He's not better than you. He's not better than nobody. You know, but with an attitude like that, you'll lose your business. That's what I'm telling you.
Second.
You know what? And
the
I'll
guy,
never... No, no, no.
I have to...
Bob, shut up, all right?
No, I shut up. Run around on my hands and knees and bark like a dog for a guy.
Who's telling you to bark like a dog?
I didn't ask you to bark like a dog. I asked you to serve me if I made some money. But you know what? You're against people that have an opportunity. This is the United States of America, hopefully, Bill. And you want to be prejudiced about it, you know? And, you know, it's a bunch of BS. You know, you should be thankful for
the States of America means we don't give it away around here. And the United States of
America... I didn't say we give it away. I'm paying you money.
Through it, you got that lottery ticket with the same $20 bill you bought the fortified wine.
Let's get off the lottery ticket. I already got found out in Washington. Isn't that interesting? You know what? It's in Washington. It's up in D.C. It isn't that interesting. You know what? No lottery tickets coming into your store, maybe. Maybe
oh,
it will.
I see.
Maybe
it's a conspiracy, is that it? What do you mean, isn't that
I
interesting?
I don't know. But they, you know,
conspiracy?
No. I just think that you're a prejudiced son of a gun, because I can't use dirty
language. Wait a minute. Wait a second. Didn't you just tell me you got a... You ain't even a citizen, and you're telling me all about me?
What do you mean
you
I'm
just
not
bought
a citizen?
Your,
I have a green card.
You said you,
I'm second
that ain't a
rate.
Citizen. That's not a citizen. That's a green card.
Okay, so what are we saying here? The guy doesn't have a right to his opinion?
Well, he's telling me where to get off. He's telling me all about what I ought to do. Meanwhile, he wants
you're
me to
just,
bark like a dog, and all he's got
high,
is a green
you're
card.
You're so high on your horse, and you're going to be taken down, dude.
You haven't... Nobody's told you to bark like a dog, Bob.
Yeah, but what if this guy wanted me to bark like a dog? All he's got is a green card.
So
I didn't
what,
ask you
man?
To...
He's not asking you to bark like a dog.
I'm just saying, what if?
But I'm not.
Boy, I'll tell you.
I just want you to treat me like a fair customer. That's all
do
I'm
you
asking.
Think, okay,
you're
I'll treat you fair. But let me ask you this: Do you think a guy with a green card ought to force me to wear a white jacket like a houseboy? No. Do you think a guy with a green?
Okay, Bob. What's happening now is you just don't like the idea that some dude comes into a lot of money through a lottery. And the fact that he may have more money than you and tell you to go get the frozen lobster and the champagne and stick it in the trunk of his Cadillac. You just don't like that because of your pride. Because of your...
No, I got a girlfriend that I've been going out with for 2 months who's a really, really beautiful girl.
You're
okay,
really
she's
a
dancer.
Guy.
She's a dancer. Hold on. She's a dancer. Guess what? She comes into my store the other day. Here comes this guy, Frank, telling me to go get the lobster and the shrimp. And now she says, how come I'm hopping to it for this guy dressed like Superfly. And I had to tell her.
Why do you keep going to the Superfly thing, you know?
That's what I had to do. And it was humiliating.
Well, then you better get yourself another girlfriend, man. That's what it sounds like to me.
Absolutely.
I got to take a break. Antonio, thank you, sir. And I appreciate you calling the show. And I don't care if he has a green card or not. He's entitled to his opinion. Bob. We'll be back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Henry Show, our news and information hour coming up next hour.
Truth
stick around.
Is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
At philhenryshow.com.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Wait a minute. I think we've got Ted's of Beverly Hills, don't we? Yes, we do. We got to turn that music off there, Bud, or I'm going to really flip out. Turn that off, Bud.
That's Jimi Hendrix.
Turn it off, Bud. Are you nuts or something?
What?
Get that music out of here, man. I'm trying to get rid of that so I can get Mr. Bell up on the line. Do you understand?
Got Ted Bell on. I thought you wanted to hear the music.
I don't want to hear that garbage. That's not garbage. It's Jimi Hendrix, but understand, you know.
Oh, my God.
Take it easy.
Ted of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Am I still on? I'm still.
Hey, Ted, that's the Ted's of Beverly Hills jingle.
Wait. Am I still on your show?
Yes, you are.
What? This is Robert Greene.
No, hold on. Mr. Greene, this is Ted Bell, and I have a restaurant.
I know you got a... I don't approve of... Let me just say something, if I could. I was blindsided by this.
Well, sir, I'm sorry. I requested from Mr. Henry that he give me a little bit of airtime because I wanted to weigh in on what you gentlemen were talking about. Because I do think I had some perspective.
That's fine. You may have perspective, and I'm sure you do. But I was booked as the guest.
All right. I understand that, Bob, and I'm not trying to preempt you. But Ted called in.
Okay. Ted called in. So when Ted calls in, what's with that music?
Excuse me? That's my jingle.
That's your jingle. Is that what you call it?
That's his commercial jingle, yeah.
Well, that's great, but I... What's that got to do with the Bob Greene Frazier Foods? Why don't you have Bob Greene Frazier Foods? What?
No, sir, I would request that you just give me a couple of minutes here.
No, I'm asking the host of the show.
Do you have a jingle?
No, I don't have a jingle. And I certainly don't have a jingle that says I want to put... That commercial says we want to put our meat in your mouth. I don't approve of it.
Hold on. If I could, Phil.
All right, but we're burning daylight.
Yeah, I know. That's something you like to say.
Yeah, he says that a lot.
You notice that?
Okay, but we are wasting time.
I'm trying to tell a gentleman here. That's an advertising slogan, sir, that means exactly what it says. We want our steak is delicious. And
yeah, I'm sure it is, sir, but we want to put our meat, blah, blah. I don't approve of it. And I know there are a great many parents that agree with me.
Well, excuse me. I don't serve the church group, okay? This is not a church social that I'm running out here. I got a steakhouse. I've got a bar. I got some very heavy people that come into my bar.
Oh, well, okay.
What's that mean?
Nothing. Just got a lot of heavy people that come out. I bet you got a lot of heavy people. I bet you a lot of heavy people walk out of that place, too. I bet you a lot of heavy people walk in that place, as in big, fat asses. But that's not what I'm talking about.
Who is this guy? Is he a sponsor of yours, Phil?
Mr. Bob Greene's on the show here to talk about the lottery.
The lottery? What is that?
I sell lottery tickets at my stores.
But you sell lottery? I thought you were running some kind of a high-class... All right, I want to get out of here, Phil. I can't... Go ahead. Thank you.
What, is this guy needs the music when he's leaving, too?
I guess.
Yes, I do.
Steakhouse, come on down.
Okay, I'm leaving now. I'm Ted Bell. Goodbye.
I'm Bob Greene, and this guy's an ass.
Hey, hold on. Kill the music. What'd you say?
I didn't say anything.
The hell you didn't.
All right, are you leaving, Ted?
Well, I want to get a couple of things straight. I called in here to say to this guy that he should not be so upset about having to haul steaks out of the trunk of a car because that's my business, the steak business. And if I came into his store and I bought, I don't know, thousands of dollars worth of steaks, I would certainly make it worth his while.
What is that supposed to mean?
What is it supposed to mean? If you were required by me to carry steaks out to my car...
Okay. Oh, if I was required by you.
Well, that's what you've been talking about. Haven't you been talking about that?
I've been talking about customers of mine that have come into Big Money. Yes, sir.
If I came to your store and I said, I want these steaks taken out to my car, Bob, but I'll make it worth your while, what are you getting upset about?
And I don't know what you mean by make it worth my while.
I'm saying if I'm showing you a 20.
You're going to tip me?
Well...
That's exactly what I'm talking about. That I have a store that I built my entire life.
What's he crying for?
Hold on. And this guy's showing me a $20 bill like he's doing me a favor, like I'm some kid who's got an apron on.
Well, I don't... Maybe I missed something.
Yeah, you better believe you missed something. I own the store. You're showing me a Jackson. Why?
You and Andrew Jackson. Well, okay, if you own the store.
He owns the store, so tipping him $20 is it's a bit of an insult.
Well, okay. Then I don't know what else to tell you. I thought I was doing it. But go ahead, bud. Yeah, thank you. All right. I'm out. Here's my jingle. I'm out. What an ass. You know what, man? I have my own jingle. You don't.
Come on down.
All right, everybody. Hi, I'm Ted Bell. Come on down. It's going to be a great weekend. Great basketball weekend. Great golf weekend. The prime rib room is open. We're serving them cold at Ted's Beverly Hills. What a jackball.
Here at Ted.
Whoa. Kill the music. Kill the music. Kill the music.
Well, we killed everything now. I don't... what happened, bud?
I think we lost the line at a restaurant. We lost the line there to Fraser Food. We lost the line there. All of it. I don't know what happened, but I can tell you that in the meantime... There it is back there.
Do the same thing. I don't want him in here. I don't want to see... Do you ever see this guy green?
Are you, Ted, that's you. Is Bob there? Bob?
I'm right here, Phil. What happened? I wanted to talk to this guy about saying jackball. Didn't? Is that what he called me?
Well, we you better get him back on, bud.
Yeah, I got him, Mr. Green.
Oh, let me talk to this guy, Green.
Hold on for a minute. Have you got him?
Yeah, Mr. Green. Yeah, we disconnected you. They want to come back on a show. The what? Okay.
What's he saying?
Hold on. Okay. 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 I'll tell him.
Where's this guy?
Hold on. What?
He said he doesn't want to come on because you made him look like a fairy. And Mr. Green man looked like 200 yards of fairy. I'm just writing all this down.
Yeah, let me see. You made him look like 200 yards of fairy, look like a fairy. You made him look like a fairy and sound like a fairy. So the operative word here is fairy. Is that it?
What's the guy's problem?
He won't come back on his show, okay?
All right, well... I was going to say to the guy, I don't know what he wanted to say, but I don't like him calling me a jackball. I didn't come on here to insult that guy. I was trying to give this guy the lay of the land on what it's about, especially because of nice, delicious steaks. And the fact he's making money just because he's got to step and fetch it out to some guy's car dressed like Superfly, so what?
Well, it's a point of pride for the guy, and I got to tell you something, Ted. In my dealings with you over the years, I've heard you have the same kinds of issues.
Well, I don't have the same issue to the point where I'm crying on the air. I just heard that guy bawl like a baby. And what's this stuff about fairy?
He did that. Phil made him look like a fairy.
Right, I got it. I got it. All right, Ted, thanks very much.
All right, I got to get back. We got a full house tonight. Look at the...
Yeah, great.
Talk about a lady.
Hold on. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be back with our News and Information Hour right after this.
Look at that.
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Welcome back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show. And online at philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. A few months ago, and it might even be verging on a year ago, we had a man on our program, Mr. Charlie LaFountain, who's a grandfather and a grandfather and a husband, lives out in the an area here in our area of the world called the Inland Empire. We're in the L.A. area. The Inland Empire is out in the interior of the state in Southern California. They're from Riverside. And he was talking about his granddaughter. Both he and his wife have guardianship over this child, and what they did to protect her from predators. And it's now been a year, and we're going to talk with him a little bit more about this program. And by the way, he was telling us during that broadcast that he had intimidated himself some predators and individuals that they thought were unsavory. I must tell you that we're going to be talking to him this evening from, he is going to be talking to us by way of a cell phone aboard a DC-10. And this is, the story itself is kind of interesting, and I don't know if you can hear me. Charlie?
marketing. Fries Village is a child of the fountain here. We are in a DC-10, which is a passenger aircraft, really, from the 1940s, and my company has recommissioned this particular DC-10 to inaugurate these nostalgia flights over Arizona and New Mexico. In the hopes it will attract people, tourists, to enjoy the old ways of flying. And we have even a stewardess, a flight attendant, and we're called stewardesses in the old days, serving drinks. It's an experience we hope people enjoy. We happen to be, my wife and I, on board this evening as we're flying our way to Albuquerque, New Mexico.
So it's a DC-3.
It's a DC-3, so it's a two-engine. The interesting part of flying a DC-3, if you have airplane buffs out there, the DC-3 has two wheels, and so the tail sits on the runway, and in order for the aircraft to get altitude, as it proceeds on the runway, all of the passengers and most of the weight aboard the aircraft must be shifted to the front of the aircraft so that you've got as much weight as possible off the tail section. And that way the tail is going to lift off the ground, and then the passengers can move back to their seats. But it's just part of the interesting experience of flying one.
You know, I flew in a DC-3 once myself.
Did you?
Yeah, it was from Miami to Key West, and it was fun. One of the things about it is you're not very high, right?
You can get, the elevation can get 10 to 15,000 feet. Generally, we will have it at about 1,000 feet or less, just so people can look at the scenery and
yeah, because we flew over we flew out of Miami and went right down the Keys.
Well, that must have been gorgeous.
Yeah, it was very beautiful, and we're flying over the Keys, looking at the ocean, and landed at Key West, and it was a lot of fun. But we're here to talk a little bit about your granddaughter, right?
Well, yes, we are. I apologize because we had this scheduled, and I was told by Jim Sebastian, who is my vice president of operations, that we were going to have this flight this evening, and so I'm hopeful, Phil, that it won't be too distracting.
Not at all, sir. So your granddaughter, who was and still is in your home, and you have guardianship over this young lady, and by the way, what is her name?
My granddaughter's name is Roberta, and she is a 14 now. She was 13 when I first talked to you about her.
But why do you and your wife have not custody?
It's guardianship and custody is the same thing. We've not adopted her, but we are the official guardians of this child. And the reason why is because her mother had a series of episodes. Her mother has a mental condition, a psychotic condition, I guess, a schizophrenia.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, you know, she's been hospitalized. We have her on medication now. She's an outpatient, but we don't feel that this is the time for her and her daughter to be reunited, although they see each other. And I felt it was best that we took the child in hand and had her in our home, because there's no telling, you know, if you've got a parent that is, you know, it's not healthy enough to take care of a child.
No explanation necessary, sir. My hat is off to you and your wife at this time in your life. Any grandparent that takes a child in and raises a child, man, they've got endless respect for me.
Well, I appreciate that, Phil. It's a heck of a thing. There's no question about it, having to take in your own children. Are unable to be parents, and then you have to take in these children. And more, it seems to be the case with a lot of people in my generation, my age group, that we're having to raise kids because people your age, no comment on you, Phil, but people your age are just not capable of, there's a lot of drug use, there's a lot of drug addicts, there's a lot of, I guess, alcoholism, there's violence and mental illness, and It's a horrible situation. So I took my my granddaughter and I said that we're going to keep this child safe.
All right. Now, I had you on my show last year, Charlie.
Yes.
Talking about what your philosophy was in keeping kids safe from predators. And at that time, you said that it was a simple matter of making the child as unattractive as possible. And you know you took a lot of static.
I listen, Phil, if there's one thing I've taken in my life, it's a lot of static. But Charlie the Fountain stands by what he says and what he does. And I would tell you that when Charlie the Fountain says something, Charlie the Fountain is going to stand stuck, stone still, next to what I say. And a lot of people say that that's inflexible. I think a lot of people say that it's almost unhealthy. But I call myself a cigar store Indian. And the reason why I call myself that is because once I say something, then I'll stand next to that idea as if I'm a cigar store Indian. You can't move me. You could take an axe and chop at me. And, of course, I'm being figurative here.
No, but I get your idea.
Yeah, right. And so I am the philosophical. That's what the guys call me because we meet every morning, myself, and there's about three or four other guys that... that I know from the neighborhood and so forth, and we meet every morning at Denny's. We have the slam, whatever they call that, breakfast, and they say, "Here comes Charlie, the cigar store Indian," and I say, "You know what? I take that as a compliment."
All right. So tell me about your granddaughter.
I'm sorry to go on, Phil. I apologize.
No, that's okay. It's okay. I think it's cool. You're meeting with your buddies in the morning. Tell me about your daughter, your granddaughter, and what you did, and what you talked to us about, and how it went.
Well, the philosophy is a very simple one, Phil. You take a child like this, and she's not old enough to be dressing up and going out in this nonsense. She's a little girl, so you don't have to worry about this nonsense about, oh, she's got to smell pretty and look pretty because... No. We encouraged Becky to eat. We encouraged her to... eat pancakes and this kind. She put some weight on. She's going to get the weight off. And she broke out, and that will end as well. But for this period in her life, we decided that for her to put on some weight, to have a little bit of bad skin, to not bathe, to not, in other words, to be repugnant as much as possible. Now, that's not to say that she's unhealthy. There's a big difference between not having hygiene. And what people will say to me, well, this is the most terrible thing I've ever heard, and they'll go on and on. I'll say, what would you rather have, a nice-smelling dead kid?
And see, that's kind of language, though, you know.
Well, I understand that, but it gets people's attention.
To say, would you rather have, because I read that, would you rather have a nice-smelling dead kid or a kid that you said smells like a dead body but is alive?
Yes, I use those words very very specifically because I wanted people to understand what we're dealing. What are the stakes when our children have these predators and they're everywhere? You know, the stakes are you'll have a dead kid that smells real good in a party dress or you've got a living granddaughter that stinks your car out, literally. And that's what I said, and I stand by that.
All right, Charlie the Fountain with us. Hold on, Charlie, and how's the plane ride?
It's absolutely comfortable. I got some coffee here. I might even have a cocktail. I'm not sure. We are due into Albuquerque probably within the hour. And we're just having a very, very, very beautiful evening this evening, Phil, over the desert.
All right, Charlie the Fountain with us aboard a DC-3 flying to Albuquerque, New Mexico this evening. Our number is 877-876-PHIL as we're going to continue this discussion of the way Charlie and his wife deal with their granddaughter. And the threat of predators. The girl is basically allowed to put on weight, not bathe. A lot of things that just make the kid, as Charlie said, stink and be repulsive. 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show. Be right back with Charlie the Fountain after this.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
A little bit.
And it's we're talking with Charlie the Fountain here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. It's fun to listen to. Literally, you're inside this DC-3, which is a propeller-driven aircraft over New Mexico tonight. Is it noisy?
No, it's not really noisy, Phil. And I know what you mean by there's a lot of propeller-driven aircraft, prop jobs, as we call them, that can get very noisy. It depends certainly on the kind of fuselage. The DC-3... McDonnell Douglas built the DC-3 with a certain kind of insulation in their fuselage, using the same, I don't know what the word is that they use in recording studios, but using the same kind of...
Well, is it baffling?
Well, it's not, but we could use that word. I forget, but they use that inside the fuselage itself, and they also use a component that is called dusting. It's a it's not a fabric. It's not a material so much as it's a process of the manufacturing of fuselage that further insulates. And so it's rather quiet. I know you can probably hear the engines. And a moment ago we hit some turbulence, and there's nothing like turbulence in a DC-3 because you can feel it. It's not even it's more dramatic, I think, than even a smaller propeller-driven plane.
All right, Charlie, let's talk about your daughter. So, your granddaughter, I mean.
Yes, our granddaughter, Becky.
Okay. Her name is Roberta.
Yes, yeah, so when we call her Becky, she didn't want to be Berta. She didn't, she'll like that, so we said, well, we'll use her, we'll call her Becky. Whoa, there was another one there, huh?
Where
are they? Yeah, I'm traveling with some of the guys, I've got some of the guys here, Phil, from my my unit in Korea. I was in the 8th Air Force, and we were stationed in a place called, which today, you know, there's no military base in France. We were in Bordeaux, France, though, and we had the 8th Air Force. And I've got some of my guys. How you feeling a bit?
Very interesting.
That's Fit Jackson, Phil.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
I'm very good.
Tell Mr. Henry how you like the flight.
Yeah, it's been very interesting, sir, and, of course, being an old Air Force guy...
Oh, all right, let me,
So these are all Air Force buddies?
Yeah, they're Air Force guys from the old days, right?
All right, your granddaughter then, sir, beginning last year to keep these predators away, you let her just kind of not bait. How did she feel about that?
Well, she's a kid. I think there's a misnomer, Phil, when you talk about girls. Oh, yeah, I just felt that one. We got some...
Whoa!
Wow, that was a big one. We just hit a big bump. We go over, find out if we're going over, a weather pattern and have the pilot fly above it.
Okay.
Find out if we're going over a weather pattern and have the pilot fly above it.
Okay.
I said to find out if we're going over a weather pattern and have the flyer pilot. Find out if we're going over a weather pattern.
That's very interesting.
Hold on.
Well, hey, Charlie, stay with me, man.
I'm sorry, Phil. I just wanted to. Wait a minute. We hit some turbulence. Oh, boy. Have you ever been through turbulence, Phil, where it feels like the plane just dropped about 3,000 feet?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's very common.
Yeah, that's just what happened right there. So I asked the flight attendant, Karen, find out if we're going over a weather pattern and if we've got to paint the plane. I can't even say it right. I'm so nervous.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Now, give me the phone back, Ben, please. So, these guys have been drinking, Phil, and I apologize.
So let's get back to your granddaughter.
Yes, my granddaughter, who I love dearly, but I said to her, honey, for your own good, I'd appreciate it very much if you wouldn't bathe or wash, brush your teeth, or use mouthwash for these specified periods. Now, I don't want my granddaughter walking around stinking like a goat, but I think that in the summer months, when the kids are out and they're more at risk... And you remember, Phil, I started this last summer, and...
Right, I remember, because the kids are going to be out of the house, and they're going to be at the beach, and they're going to be on their own a lot.
That is correct, right. So I said, I'd appreciate it very much. And my granddaughter, to her benefit, I said, honey, you know what's going on. And her friends started doing it. I talked to Cynthia and Pat McMichaels, are friends of mine, and they've got their granddaughter, and some of the parents, and we all got into this. And I did some carpooling to the pool, and I can tell you that if you love your children, you can put up with anything. And I had four of them in the car, and this was last July as we were going over to the public pool over here in San Bernardino. And I said to the girls, get into the car, and I love my granddaughter so much. And I will be honest with you, my wife's here, and you remember, right? Yeah, the smell in that car, and I understand, Phil, it was a round trip, probably 100 miles. And
a round trip, 100 miles to go from Riverside to San Bernardino? That seems like an awfully long
We were picking up. Why was it a 100-mile round trip? I took surface streets. That's right. I don't know why. I guess they were doing construction. And now that solves the problem. I'm glad I'm talking to you, Phil. I wondered why it was I put myself. I said it smelled because you've got these four little girls that haven't bathed, they haven't brushed their teeth for weeks, and not only that, but they're eating anything they want, so their skin's lousy, they're big, and you've got to get these little kids into the car, and you're squeezing them in, and then the odor. I keep going back to the odor. So in any event, and boy, I'm remembering it now.
You talking about your granddaughter?
Yes, I am. Hold on, Vin. I got one of my buddies. So, the, God.
Yeah.
We just did some more turbulence, Phil.
Are you guys okay?
Yeah, we're fine, but I'm trying to get the flight attendant. Find out if we're hitting a pentagon and why the pilot won't fly over. I'm sorry, I'm messing it up.
Find out if it's a weather pattern.
I know how to talk. I can find out if it's a weather pattern and if the pilot's panning. Okay. So, in any event, Phil, I said to Becky, I said, we'll go to the plunge, and I think I took surface streets that day because, I don't know why, I had an episode, I guess. I have these episodes where I forget, and so I'm just driving aimlessly. That might have been it. And
You have episodes where you forget?
Yes, I do, and the doctor said to me he hopes it isn't a harbinger of Alzheimer's, but sometimes I'll forget, and I will just drive. And drive for miles.
All right, we're talking here with Charlie the Fountain. Our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Got some people on the line, some parents on the line who want to talk to you. Steve Dooley is checking in from Western Estates. Steve, how are you?
Yeah, good, Mr. Henry. Phil, the man here. Hey, you hear me?
Say that again, sir.
I wanted to ask you, my wife's Bobby Dooley, we have a current teachers?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You recommend that the kid stinks like that, and we live in a gated community, you know?
I understand, sir.
And I got a kid that smells, you know, like seven shades of you-know-what. You can't have that walking around.
Well, the advice I give to people who live in gated communities where you have to have a certain decorum, and I understand that, sir. Believe me, I understand. Where the children have to have a certain decorum and a presentation. You can't have a kid walking around smelling like a dung heap. Right?
No, that's it.
And so I would say in a gated community, you have less of a threat of this kind of predator, so the kids can probably get them to take a bath a little more often. But I wouldn't run the risk. I wouldn't run the risk at all. Of having these kids smelling, you know what they like to say in the commercials, and I hate these commercials, and I've written to the networks, kissing soft, or they smell like a daisy or something like that. Yeah, I'll bet they smell like a daisy. I'll bet you they smell real good as they put them in a pine box.
That's what I'm trying to say, you know. And my wife, she, the whole idea of a kid stinking it out.
I understand, sir.
All right, let's take a break, okay?
Yeah, let's take a break. Oh, God, help me.
What is going on?
It's just turbulence. Don't worry about it. Did that go out over the air?
Did what go out over the air?
When I asked God to help me?
Yes, it did. Anyway, 877-876-7445, the Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back with Charlie LaFountain and more of your phone calls right after these messages.
It's so bad.
I understand, sir. I can't do anything about your kid.
Scrub it down.
Phil Hendry.
Phil Henry Show, Charlie?
Yeah, it just, we had a little bit of turbulence. Look, Phil, I was in the Air Force, so this is, I'm fine with it, but, damn.
That's a big one.
Now, here, Vic's here with his wife. I've got some of the guys I told you, Phil, from my Air Force outfit and a squadron I was in Bordeaux, France, and we've been hitting some turbulence here.
Hey!
Yeah, that had ever, oh boy.
Was that more?
Yeah. I want to speak with you more and more and more and more about my granddaughter and what we're doing in Riverside and in the Bailey Park area of Riverside where my wife and I live in protecting our grandkids from the predatory nature of some of these fruits and not fruits, but the pooverts. But I'm having to deal with this aircraft today. God.
Woo!
See, that was another one. We just dropped about 3,000 feet. Tell the pilot to take it easy, will you, please?
Okay. Are you distracted?
It's a little distracting, yeah. It's a little distracting. I was an Air Force pilot, and for me to sit here and worry about whether I'm going to... And I've been sitting here talking about my daughter, my granddaughter, and other granddaughters smelling as bad as they do in order to keep these predators away. And I am... frightened I'm going to arrive in Albuquerque. Well, I'm afraid I'm going to stink.
Why is that? Oh, never mind.
Yeah, okay. I don't need to spell it out, do I?
No, never mind. Well, let's, I tell you what, take some phone calls. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We're talking here with Charlie DeFountain, and we are discussing what he and other neighbors of his instituted last summer, which is to protect their kids from the predators by making the children physically unappealing. And I got to tell you, I heard a lot of people say that it's completely wrong-headed. Let me go to a phone call.
Well, you're hearing people saying it's wrong-headed. Why?
Well, we can discuss it. Austin, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil, how you doing? This is Austin, Phil, and this man that you're talking to, I heard him on your program last year, and I remember him saying that this was a foolproof way. You ever using those words, sir?
What happened there?
I'm sorry. Hold on for a minute, will you? Hold on. What is that? We hit more turbulence.
Well, yeah, you're hitting turbulence all right, because I think the turbulence, sir, if you want my honest opinion, is I think you've got a turbulent life. I think your life and the way you think about things, the way that you process things, I think is turbulent. I think there's turbulence between your ears.
Well, you can make all the jokes you want, sir, but I can tell you this, that my granddaughter has never been approached or attacked. She's safe.
Well, of course she's safe, but that could have a lot to do with a lot of different things, you know.
Well, all right, you can speculate all you want, but my point is
your point is what, sir? You're spending more time worrying about that aircraft.
Are you... sir, we are hitting some turbulence. We're in a DC-3.
No, I've been listening to you on the broadcast. As the plane hits turbulence, I'm listening to you crying and moaning. And
I don't think I'm crying and moaning.
Hey, that's the baby.
Yeah, well, who's that?
Hold on. You got a lot of noise going on there, Charlie, that we need to kind of filter out. So what's your point, sir, the gentleman calling?
Well, sir, my point is this. I agree with you, and it was something that I had addressed last year. I talked to this man. I said, that is a completely idiotic way of protecting a child, because children, a pervert, and these individuals that prey on children, they don't care what the kid smells like. That's got nothing to do with anything. And
you know, I heard that argument.
Hold on for a minute, sir, if you don't mind. They don't care what the kid smells like. And the reason why I know that is because my own uncle was put into prison for this very thing. And I can tell you, it was an absolute black day on the honor of our family when my uncle was put in prison.
Your uncle was in prison for abusing children?
That is correct. Little young ladies.
So in other words, that makes you an expert?
No, sir, it doesn't make me an expert. But even my uncle will tell you, who was in prison for some 18 years, even he'll tell you that what they smell like, it doesn't make no never mind to him. You know, he'll tell you they can smell like the back end of a cow, on a blazingly hot and humid day in Florida, like at about, say, 2 o'clock, 2:30, you know, just before it rains, when the
all right, we understand.
You really have an image in your mind, sir, and if you're comfortable with that. No, I'm not comfortable with it. You're the one that wants a kid to stink like that. And I don't think it's right, and I don't think it's going to solve any problems. And I talked to you last year about it.
I don't remember, sir, and that's not to disrespect you, but I can assure you, sir, I have a granddaughter that I love her. Do you have children, sir?
Yes, I do. I've got two sons, and they're very small. These are two boys.
Well, I'm talking more about these young ladies.
Well, that's what I mean. You don't know what you're talking about. You know, are you going to make do the boys stink it out?
No, because I don't know about the boys. If they wanted to, but I'm talking about my daughter, my granddaughter.
You keep calling her your daughter. Is she your daughter or your granddaughter?
She's my daughter and my granddaughter, all right?
Wow.
What does that mean?
Never mind, please. Never mind. There was more turbulence. Hey, well, I don't care about the turbulence. I want you to explain that last line.
What does that mean, she's your daughter and your granddaughter?
If I tell you, I'm in the middle of turbulence, and now I have spilled inadvertently a family something.
You did.
I'm afraid I did. Mr. Henry, is there any way I can tell you this off the air?
No, you can't tell me off the air. I don't want to hear if it's what I think it is, and it must be. No, I don't want to hear it.
Mr. Henry, most men never have to face the fact that given the right time and the right place, they're capable of everything.
Now, what is this, Chinatown?
I thought I recognized that. I thought I recognized a line from Chinatown, and that's what it is. It's not called Chinatown. It's called Chinatown.
Well, what are you quoting Chinatown for?
I don't know. But
get out of here. Thank you very much, sir, for your call. Not you. 877-87. Why are you quoting Chinatown?
Mr. Henry, there comes a time in every phone conversation with anybody that you've got to get rid of the guy. I don't know what the guy's point was.
That's why you said that?
Yeah, so you get pissed off and throw him off the line. I don't know. I'm trying desperately. Mr. Henry, this is now becoming something that I cannot control, and my bladder. Yeah, look at that. I have lost control of some of my bodily functions because of this turbulence. Now, I will tell you, I don't want the impression given to anybody that's listening.
You know, are we talking about your granddaughter or not, and what exactly is happening aboard that aircraft?
I told you that we have very bad turbulence.
I understand that, but are you going to crash?
I don't know. We're not going to crash, and I wish you wouldn't say that because it's a little bit of a superstition that you don't want to talk about. Just did it again. You feel that?
Yeah, I did. It almost went down about 10,000 feet.
Yeah, fellow, you feel that one, Red?
Okay, are you with me here, Charlie?
I'm with you, but I'm very confused, and I'm extremely anxious, and I couldn't stand talking to that caller any longer, so I had to come up with something that would create such a shock that you'd need to throw him off the air, because just as I was commencing my conversation with that man, I had told you that I was afraid that I would not have full control over my physical faculties, and I... Yeah... So I've got to get up and clean myself up.
Well, you know what? If things are that bad aboard that aircraft, I think we're done with this conversation.
Why?
Because we're not making any sense anyway, okay? The last caller you had on the line, you know...
That guy was a pain in the ass. I didn't want to talk to him. He talked to me last year. All he wanted to do was call up and argue with me. I want people on this talk show that I can lecture. I don't want people to debate with me. What the hell do you think I am, anyway?
An open-minded guy.
Well, forget it.
877-877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Rudy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show, sir.
Yes, Phil, and good evening to the gentleman. I wanted to, first of all, I wanted to say that I'm appreciative of this broadcast tonight because I think it's important to keep the children safe. Secondly, I want to say that I hope you are safe aboard the aircraft, sir.
because it sounds a bit shocking or heart-stopping, you know?
Well, I can tell you that it's not been the easiest ride, sir, but we're going to survive.
You are saying that you want to not give a child a bath or cleanliness or whatever it is. So that the pervert is not going to be attracted to the child.
Yes, sir, that is the thinking. And my granddaughter this summer hasn't bathed since the end of May. And I can tell you she's ripe.
Oh, my God, you know.
You're kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding you. I told you.
Yes, but, sir, what if the child is the child has their own self-respect, you know?
What are you talking about? I'm talking about a 14-year-old child. She hasn't bathed since the end of May. She stinks like an open sewer, but that child is safe, and that's all I care about. That's all I care about. And I don't care. You can say what you want, but that child is safe.
Okay, so in other words, you think the perverts are not going to harm the children if they stink.
That is exactly correct.
May I say this to you, sir, although my experience is with women, I would never be with a child because I am not a sick individual. But I'm going to tell you this, that I have been with some women in my life that smell like a cow. And you know what I mean by cow?
Yes, I think I know what you mean by a cow.
I have been with cows. I have been literally cows, not the four-legged cow. I have been with a two-legged cow.
All right, before you go on, Rudy, I don't want anybody getting the idea that we're comparing perverts who are mentally unbalanced, who have got a sociopathy, all kinds of problems, who are a danger to kids, and you wooing women.
No, I don't. I think you misunderstand.
That's a very good point, Mr. Henry. I think this guy's coming on here to talk about, you were going to, you know.
Well, I think what you're going to say here, Rudy, is, well, hey, the smell never bothered me.
Why can't I say that? I'm not trying to,
because it doesn't apply to what you're talking about.
You're talking about normal heterosexual relating between a man and a woman, okay?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I said, but no, it's not that normal.
Okay, it ain't that normal, but we're talking, on the other hand, we're talking about a crime being committed.
But let me say, I'm not, you're right, and I agree with you, but still, the only point I'm trying to make here, you know, is that,
well, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say you can put up with any kind of a stink so long as it's a female.
I didn't say that either. I said I can put up with any, well, I...
But look, I don't want to talk about this. I don't. It's got nothing to do with what we're talking about.
Hey, look at that, Phil. Hey, the guy said the GD. Well, I came on the program. What to see? Oh, go cry. Go cry on somebody else's shoulder, okay? Cesar Romero.
I think that is a cheap shot. You know that?
I don't care what you think.
I think that is a cheap shot to call me Cesar Romero. I came on the program with good... And by the way, Cesar Romero, who is a great star...
Oh, you're going to start to tell me about the Latin film industry now, all the great stars? I couldn't be more bored.
But I'm going to say to you...
And by the way, Cesar Romero was gay. How's that feel?
I heard on this program last hour... that they wanted to beat each other up, these two men. I would love to beat you up.
You'd like to beat me up. The only problem is actually doing that. And that would be a big one.
Speaking of big ones, you go ahead. We'll lay it on the bar. And you and I...
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
I can't.
877-876-7445 here on the Phil Henry Show. All right, so we get rid of that caller. Thank you. All right, so we're going to take a break because we are way late for our break. And are you doing okay in the aircraft there, Charlie?
No, I'm not doing okay in the aircraft. I told you. I went ahead and soiled everything. The seat, the pants, the underwear, my shoes, some of my luggage. Because why? I'll tell you why. Because I had to fly to Albuquerque tonight at a TV.
877-876-7445. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The
I
Phil Henry Show.
Say,
No. We're up here.
That's no fair.
This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
I'm praying to God.
All I can do is pray to God, then.
What about me?
All you can do is pray to God. That's all I'm telling you.
If I bought it?
No, they're not going to buy it. But all you can do now, all any of us can do, if you listen to me, is just get on your knees and pray to God. Pray to God. Ask God, please let us land the plane safely. And
we're on the air now, okay?
We're on the air. Hold on. We're on the air.
Back on the air. I wish you'd tell me that we're on the air, Phil, because I was just telling everyone.
No, we heard what you were saying.
Right. And I didn't. I was telling everyone to pray.
Are you afraid the plane isn't going to land safely?
I'm worried, and I've always had a fear of flying.
You were in the 8th Air Force, and you have a fear of flying.
Yes. Now, let me explain that. There is nothing unusual about that. Okay, we're all right. There's nothing unusual.
What happened then?
We hit some turbulence.
So you react to turbulence in that manner?
Yes.
I knew somebody like you. My old partner in radio, we used to fly places for our radio show. And one time we flew to Europe. A couple times we flew to Europe. And every time there was a bump, he almost came out of his skin.
Mr. Henry, I am not that bad. I was in the Air Force.
Well, you were in the Air Force, but you have a fear of flying.
Yes, I have a fear of flying, and I joined the Air Force, if you'll let me finish a point for the first time in this GD show of yours.
Well, if you feel that way, sir...
All right, don't get your... Look, don't start pulling your skirt up and looking for a place to squat. All I'm trying to say...
Wait, hey, well, hold the phone here, man. You're the guy that's getting upset.
I'm not getting upset. I'm saying I had a fear of flying, which I still have. That's why I joined the 8th Air Force, and I was very...
No. That's fast.
Okay, that was another piece of turbulence. And the reason why I joined the Air Force...
Hold on for a minute. That was you going through turbulence.
Okay, we just did a bump. We're all right. What?
Your reaction to turbulence is way over the top.
Excuse me. I said I defeated... Do you know what it's like to be able to defeat a fear like that? And to man up and to look a fear in the eye and defeat it the way I did by joining the 8th Air Force? Okay, no problem.
Did you fly aircraft?
What's that?
Did you... What's that? A thing that flies?
No, I know what you mean. What did you say?
Did you fly the aircraft?
Did I fly them? No, I was a mechanic. I was on the ground. But just hold the phone because I know where you're going. I was in the Air Force, wasn't I?
Yes, but you didn't fly airplanes.
It doesn't matter. I was in the... No, please, God, don't... Please, God, don't let me... Okay, we're good. I know I'm having a...
You're having some of the most extreme reactions to turbulence I've ever heard. You're going, please, God.
You are making a bigger issue out of it than you have to. Can we just continue the conversation and not pay attention to my reaction?
Go ahead.
What I was saying was this.
No.
What I was saying was this.
God.
Excuse me. What I was saying was this. I was in the Air Force, okay? I manned up, and I defeated my fear of flying by joining the Air Force. You're asking me, did I actually fly aircraft?
God, I don't want to die!
No, we're all right. You're asking me...
I can't stand this. I can't listen to this. We're not having a normal conversation.
Why don't you just ignore my reactions and see those as a man facing his fear? I'm on the airplane right now. Am I screaming?
No, but every time you guys hit turbulence...
That is a spoke.
Sounds like a monkey.
Yeah. All right, we're good. What happened?
You just went into a whole chimpanzee routine.
Oh, bull crap.
That's exactly what you did. You want to ask Bud?
I'll ask Bud. I'll ask a guy with part of his brain missing.
You did. You sounded just like a monkey.
Well, Bud... I don't want to tell you what you sound like, but it's got a tail, too, and it swings from trees. Oh, man. God, I hate life. I really hate life.
And where's your granddaughter tonight?
And wouldn't you like to know?
Nope. Are you kidding me?
Why are you asking?
I'm asking because I'm wondering who's taking care of the kid.
Well, okay. Her mother.
Her mother, who's got the psychotic drug problem.
The drug problem isn't psychotic. She is. Oh, that's right.
No.
See, now you feel bad about leaving her with her mother.
Oh, it was turbulence. Now, anyway,
get out of here. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show with our News and Information Hour coming up.
I do want to die.
Phil Hendry.